Christmas lights, going to three different homes, one for appetizers and a crazy gift exchange, the next one for main course, eating, 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 and dessert, just sugar rush, send them home. Just classic youth pastor move. I'm sorry to the parents in the room. But I'm in this bus, and it's quieter than the middle school progressive dinner by like half at least. I'm thinking, like, all is calm. All is calm. And I've actually been struggling with this for a little while. Ever since Stephen was like, you're going to do all is calm. I was like, I'm like the worst person to do that sermon. Because you guys know we've been doing like the lyrics from Silent Night for Advent. Do you guys? That's our idea anyway. Is that our theme for Advent has been simply Christmas. That this Christmas we might all, the years just felt really crazy. And that we might all experience a simpler Christmas, like just peace and beauty and love. And I've kind of been saying it under my breath whenever there's another meeting or party, or I'm like, simply Christmas. Because it feels like maybe Christmas is not so simple. And we've been doing these lyrics for Silent Night. The first Sunday we did Silent Night, the second Sunday we did Holy Night. And here on this third Sunday, the Sunday of joy, all is calm. And if you are sitting here this morning and you're like, actually, all is calm, and I feel really good about that, and things just feel peaceful, and I feel like I'm at rest, and I'm doing the belly breathing, then that's like so wonderful. And this is for you also, but like, that's amazing that you are in a place where you feel that all is calm. All I can have been able to think of as I've been preparing for this morning is like, all is not calm. I just want to like shake whoever's near me, like, how am I supposed to tell people all is calm? It's just not true for so many of us, right? Like, all is not calm. And I'm even saying that from a really privileged perspective. Like, my problems this holiday season have been like, too many fun things. Or like, shoot, I still don't know what to get this person for Christmas, but I know that I can, I just have to go do it. What other things? Like these progressive dinners with these amazing students that we have as part of our community. I'm like, oh, I'm so stressed out. Oh, I just have to eat for 4 hours. And hang out with, like, the coolest kids around. Those are my problems this holiday season. And, like, I get to be with all of you. I'm like, oh, wow, Christmas Eve is going to be, like, a really long day. We got 4 services. I'm like, the whole day I just get to hang out with these beautiful human beings and, like, celebrate Christmas. Like, that's really not a problem. But it is part of my chaos and part of why I'm like, oh, it's not calm. Like, I'm pretty tired, actually. And I know that I'm saying that from this privileged place, and that we have friends in our community, or maybe you're sitting here thinking, I wish those were my problems. I wish I was going on the middle school progressive dinner. Next time, let me know. But for some people who we know, for maybe some of us, for people in our community, this season is not calm, and it's not first world chaos. It's like, I don't know where I'm going to sleep tonight. It's, I don't know what I'm going to eat tonight. I don't know how I'm going to get any gifts for my kids. I don't know what I'm going to do without this loved one that I lost this year. Or as Shimiko mentioned, that our community in Bend and Redmond have lost two teenagers last week to suicide. And for those families and for those who know them and for us as a whole, like, all is not calm. There's kind of this weight that can settle if we let it. And even if we read the news or just paying attention to what's happening in the world, whether it be literal fire or it simply feels like the world is burning, all is not calm. And so I didn't really know what to do for us this morning because I didn't want to lie and just be like, feel like all is calm. But traditionally, the Sunday of Joy is a Sunday we talk a lot about Mary, because she, we have these stories of her in Scripture, and this sense of her as a person that she's someone possessing great joy in this season. And so I turned to Luke 2 to some moments with Mary, where I think we have this idea, and if you look at any nativity or songs about Mary, they tend to not tell you that she's like this 14 or 15-year-old girl, unwed, just had a baby, in a cave, away from her family, doesn't even know it yet, but has like all the king's men after her and her new baby. Doesn't know it yet, but is soon going to be a refugee and an immigrant in a foreign country to flee that violence. Like, we don't get that picture in our nativity set. It's not included. But Mary, in this story that we celebrate in this season, where we're singing All is Calm, is this woman for whom all is not calm. She should be freaked out, really. And just, I can't imagine her being a person of calm in this context. And in Luke 2, we read like these shepherds show up, so she's just given birth, and this is exactly who you want to come hang out with you. I've never given birth, but I'm like, that's probably not at the top of my list of like guests, like, come on in. And these shepherds are losing their minds. They're so excited. They're telling her, we just saw this whole choir of angels. They were telling us all about this kid, so we came to see him. And it sounds like a whirlwind. As you read the story, they're like, and we're here, and it was amazing, and we're going to go tell everybody. And they just just blow through the cave, like just in and out, just chaos. And we come to this part in Luke 2 that some biblical scholars even think Mary had a hand in writing or in including in some of these texts, where it says, but Mary, shepherds just left. Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. And in all this unfolding chaos, we have this moment that sounds like something a mom might write in a moment of peace after the storm. Mary pondered all these things and treasured them in her heart. Or one translation says, she kept all these things to herself, just kind of tucked them away, holding them dear and deep in her heart. And that's the moment of calm that I read in the story. Like, that's the first time as I'm reading through the Christmas story, I'm like, oh, there it is. There's a little taste of that calm and that peace that we all long for, right? Like, nobody's like, I can't wait for Christmas to be the craziest time ever. We all long for this season of peace. I told myself at the beginning of Advent, I was going to, new traditions are wonderful, and it's my first Christmas being single in a really long time. So I'm like in my living room, and I've got a little fireplace on, and I put my tree on, and it's in the window, and I like made myself a cup of tea, and I'm reading. I'm like, oh, you know, I'm gonna read Narnia. That just feels like the holidays for some reason. Am I the only one? And I'm sitting there to myself, I'm like, this is the most peaceful feeling. I'm gonna do this every night of Advent. It was lovely that first night, though. Like, it was really beautiful. And so it's that feeling that we all long for, that we want to create, that we want to make for our families. And Mary kind of puts words to it in this moment. It's this deep breath after a lot has happened, where she's able to say, God, I just treasured them up in my heart and held them deep and dear in my heart. There's that song, Mary, Did You Know? It's sometimes really popular this time of year. And I always think that song's kind of funny, because if you've read the Bible, you're like, yes, she knew. Like, she was told a lot of times, actually, that Mary did know. And so she pondered all these things in her heart. Like, I wondered to myself, like, what was it that she knew in that moment that allowed her to take that deep breath and be at peace, if only for a moment? And the Greek word for that, like treasured up or pondered or kind of just, like I have this like ingathering kind of gesture that I do. Like, I'm like, it just feels like she's like doing this. The Greek word for that is my new favorite, sunbalusa. Use that later. She sunbalusa'd all these things, which I know has a lot of meaning for you. But that word means... I'm going to tell you. I'm not just going to leave it like that. She sunbalusa'd these things. She, and the Greek literally means to like place things alongside and compare them with each other. She took all these different components of her experience and laid them out in her heart and kind of checked them against each other. And it was this moment of peace of like, yes, even in the chaos, all will be well. And I wonder what those things are that she was kind of holding dear in her heart. I wonder if, as a young Jewish woman who grew up knowing the scriptures because all the kids did back then, I wonder if one of the things she was treasuring and holding dear are some of the words from the prophets who were talking about the one who was to come, who she's holding in her arms. I wonder if she's thinking of the prophet Isaiah saying, "Comfort my people. Comfort them and speak tenderly to them and remind them that God has not forgotten them, that in fact God is at work healing and restoring and repairing the world and is going to send someone who's going to show us how." Like, remember, and that there's all these ancient voices, I can imagine, that Mary has lived with her whole life, that she's grown up with in synagogue. She's heard over and over and over these voices of the prophets, these kind of quiet ancient whispers saying, no matter what it looks like, God has not forgotten. No matter what it looks like, even though the Romans are in charge now and it is not good living and your people feel oppressed, even though you don't feel freedom or space or like God has remembered you, God remembers you and God is sending someone to remind you that God is still with you. He might even be named Emmanuel, God with us. And I wonder if she heard those voices and she kind of treasured them up in her heart. And then I wonder if her mind flashed to a different moment, whether it was a dream or a vision or an experience, but an encounter of some kind with this angelic being, Gabriel, who comes to her and freaks her out, but then says, you are beloved of God. God sees you, Mary. God sees everyone, but I'm here to tell you that God specifically sees you today. And God has chosen you to be part of God's unfolding plan, and you're going to have this kid, and it's going to be so confusing, but you're going to name him Jesus, which means savior. It means rescuer. And I wonder if that's one of the things she's remembering is that initial fear that turned into peace when she encountered this angel. Or I wonder if she's remembering the words of Elizabeth when these two pregnant women encounter each other. And before she even gets there, Elizabeth says she could feel her baby leap with joy. Like, Mary, you're not crazy. You're not making this stuff up. Even my unborn child knew you were coming, and we're calling you blessed. And we're greeting you with great joy because there's something special happening here. And I wonder if what she was treasuring up in her heart and holding alongside and comparing to one another was all these different encounters, because in those moments of chaos, we question all that we hold dear. And we question whether we're on the right track, and we question whether it's ever going to be okay again. And we ask, what if, what if, what if, what if? But she invites this moment of calm into the chaos. And in that moment of calm, I wonder if she's hearing those voices over and over saying, Mary, you're not crazy. And all is not calm right now, but all will be well. And God has not forgotten you, and you're a part of God's unfolding story to redeem everything. And so it's gonna feel crazy for a while. But you're a part of something that ends with all will be well. And then there's those crazy shepherds. And I wonder if even their intensity of excitement was an affirmation to her that all those other voices weren't just one-offs, weren't just a fluke, but were one more affirmation. Are you telling me you saw a choir of angels that told you to come here and meet my baby? Like, what kind of affirmation for a 14, 15-year-old girl to hear, like, that all of the heavenly host is like, yes, you're not crazy, this is actually happening, and God is doing a new thing, and that your baby has something to do with it. And we're going to call him Emmanuel, God with us. And so, friends, in this season, I don't know what those voices are for you, but I wonder if we're all kind of invited with Mary to take a moment, to breathe deep in our bellies, to find some bits of calm in the midst of whatever reality we're in, and to remember, what are those voices that call you back to remember who you are and that you are a part of something much bigger than you could ever imagine? Who are those voices? Maybe it's a grandparent or a friend or a mentor or a song or a bird. I don't know. But who is telling you? What are those voices that you can treasure up and hold deep in your heart that remind you that all will be well? That in this season, the good news is that God has not forgotten us. That God is still very much with us. God is still very much interested in the restoration of all things, and that while we are heartbroken a lot of the time, that is not the end of the story. And I want to literally, I can't tell you what those voices are, and I can't even give you the voices that have been part of that journey for me. But I want to give you a few moments and just replay them in your mind. And maybe this can be a Mary moment for us. Of sunbalusa-ing, and holding all those things and letting them inform us in this season. So take a moment, and then in a few minutes, we'll continue in worship by receiving the morning offering.